One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Father Barber and Hazel in the Daniel Murray living room.
Pinky is armored in ego. Yes, King Arthur's suit of mail was no heavier than Pinky's adolescent ego.
That's perfectly right, Father.
I'd like to take that boy over and handle him for a while. I'd like a chance to make him toe the mark. I see he listened to me.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. When you have a miserable headache, you want relief and fast. So reach for that friendly-looking blue and white package of Alka-Seltzer. Yes, Alka-Seltzer is first aid for relief from headache. All we ask you to do is try it. Alka-Seltzer will do the rest. Dissolve one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, then drink it. Since Alka-Seltzer is a solution when you take it, the pain-relieving analgesic sodium acetyl salicylate is ready to go right to work. And because of its effervescence, those hundreds of sparkling, dancing bubbles, Alka-Seltzer gives the fastest relief you can imagine. Yes, take Alka-Seltzer. First aid for relief from headache. Chapter 3, Book 80. In Seacliff, San Francisco, where the barbers live, it's only three blocks down and two blocks over from the family home to Hazel's house. A short walk. But Henry Barber, on the way to talk to Hazel and her husband Dan, is taking a long time about it this afternoon. There he goes, deep in thought. Hazel's son Pinky flunked out of Stanford last week. And Henry has in his pocket a letter from one of Pinky's classmates, which he knows will disturb Dan and Hazel when they learn about it. Well, he's quickened his stride now, and Hazel, who has been expecting him, comes to the door instantly when he rings.
Father, what kept you?
Yes. Where's Daniel?
In the living room. We're waiting. Come on in.
Yes.
When you telephoned to make sure we were here, Father, you worried me. What is it?
Oh.
Good afternoon, Father Barber.
Daniel?
Come in and sit down, sir.
I'm A.P., Father. Would you like some?
Yes. No, thank you.
Father, you look as though you had the weight of the world on your shoulders. What in the world happened?
Is Pinky here?
He is not, sir. Pinky is out looking for a job.
You sent him out at 8 o'clock this morning.
Yes. I saw Pinky, you know. I had quite a talk with the boy.
Well, I hope you let him see what it means to all of us to have him flunk out of school. Dan and I are miserable, Father. Pinky had been chastened by his failure. I think I could have borne it, but he's just as brash as he ever was.
Yes. Well, there are times when parents despair, you know. You think, what have I brought forth in this young fellow? Yes. Then suddenly one day you look around and discover that the boy you were distressed about has grown to man's estate. Yes. The harum-scarum creature who kept you awake at night has utterly disappeared, and you have a man in his place.
Father, if you have something to tell us, don't hold back. Dan and I are getting conditioned to bad news.
Yes. Well, I received a letter, Hazel. Daniel? From a Stanford boy named Weatherwax, Brooks Weatherwax the Hurt. Have you ever heard Pinky mention such a person?
No. Have you, Dan?
Not to my knowledge, no.
You knew, of course, that Pinky needed $250 for some unknown reason?
Well, yes. We said if he wouldn't tell us what he wanted it for, we wouldn't give it to him.
Yes. He borrowed it from this Brooks Weatherwax the Hurt.
Oh, Father, are you sure?
Yes. Yeah.
But why did he write to you, Father Barber?
He'd heard that I was Pinky's grandfather, and so he wrote me. You see,
Pinky's been boasting again. No credential in the world like money, not to Pinky.
Well, what did Pinky need this money for?
Just hold on, Daniel. I sent for Pinky because I couldn't quite believe that he had done such a thing. But he admits that he owes the money to this person.
May I have that letter, sir? I'll see that it's paid.
Now, Daniel, I have given this some thought. Yes, and I have a plan. Now, may I say, in Pinky, you have a problem at the moment.
Problem is an understatement, Father.
Yes. Now, let me follow my train of thought. I have been working this out in my mind. It is Pinky's nature to be overconfident, which is always a distressing quality in a young man with no discernible qualities. As yet, that is. Pinky gives off the appearance of being self-satisfied as a man who has actually done something. And up to now, he has only distinguished himself by failing in school and going into debt.
I think that puts it in a nutshell. But what did he do?
Over here, your love for the boy is something he can always count on, and that is as it should be. Yes. But he not only counts on it, he very coolly and deliberately uses it. Or so it seems to me.
Oh, sure, that's right. We know that.
Now, on the other hand, with me, and it was very evident in my interview with Pinky, With me, he is inclined to jump when I speak to him.
I hope for the right reason. He jumps when anybody speaks whom he thinks has a little money.
Well, the point is, whatever the cause of it, Pinky is very circumspect in his dealing with me.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Now, what I am getting at is this. If you people pay this Brooks Weatherwax person his money, you will have suffered a defeat. Still, the money is owed by a member of our family and must promptly be paid. That goes without saying. So, my proposal is that you allow me to pay it. I'll bring Mr. Pinky before me, and I shall propose that he work it out in my garden. Or anywhere else that I direct. Yes. Now, Hazel, you are bristling.
No, I...
Well, realize the implication is that I can handle your son better than you can. That's not very flattering.
No, it isn't, Father.
But let's not quibble. The point is that I probably can. Through no fault of yours, mind. But entirely due to the circumstances, I would be in a position to make certain demands on him. This boy needs work and discipline. The boy is armored in ego. Yes, King Arthur's suit of mail was no heavier than Pinky's adolescent ego. No, I don't pretend to be a psychologist, but I do know that I have the ability to exercise considerable authority.
Father, I can't wait any longer. I've got to ask a question.
Eh?
What? What did Pinky need the money for? Do you know?
He bought $250 worth of clothes.
What? Hmm?
Clothes. Clothing. He went into debt for haberdashery.
You see, Ben, I told you you were worrying me needlessly.
I hope I was, Hazel. I just hope I was.
Huh?
Oh, Dan speculated about all sorts of horrible things, Father.
Well, the boy said he hadn't gambled.
Well, naturally, Daniel was worried, Hazel. I can see where you tossed through the nights with that worry if you knew that your boy owed $250, but not to whom or what for. Yes. Well, you two take this under advice.
Father Barber, I have some stock I was planning to sell, and I can easily
pay
this.
In my opinion, that would be a mistake, Daniel. However, you consider it well. I would welcome an opportunity to take Pinky in. Oh, well, never mind. I'm going home. This has not been a pleasant duty, and I think I shall go.
Will you leave that letter with me, sir?
No, Daniel. I'm afraid in some angry, impulsive moment you pay it, and I do wish you'd give my proposal careful thought from all sides. If you want the creditor's address and the letter, after you accept on this, I shall be happy to give it to you. Well,
thank you, Father.
I'm sorry you've had to wrestle with this, Father Barber.
Yeah, think it over well.
We will, sir. I'll get the door for
you. No, not necessary. You can let me know what you decide.
Bye, Father.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Oh, Dan, I'm just heartsick. I hate to admit that we can't bring up our own children.
Well, your father knows it'll be a tight squeak for me to pay this money right at the moment. He's softening the blow, that's all. It's very nice of him.
Dan, I'm sure he meant exactly what he said. Oh, please, let's not let our own pride be involved.
Oh, but it isn't a matter of pride.
But it is, Dan. Sure, you can see that.
Oh, yes, I suppose you're right.
Dan, aren't you, in one way, a little bit relieved? I think he bought clothes. It's silly, but it isn't criminal.
That boy had plenty of clothes, Hazel. Have you noticed his wardrobe?
You don't think he fibbed to his grandfather, do you? Oh, I'm sure he didn't, Dan. He dissembles more than almost anybody I know, but he doesn't tell outright fibs.
I don't like to spy, but...
You mean go upstairs and look?
Well, I think we'd be justified, don't you? Go up to his closet and take a look. If he bought $250 worth of clothes, they ought to show up somewhere.
All right. Come on. Let's go upstairs and see. Mm-hmm. Coming?
Yeah, right with you. I'll tell him we spied out his closet because his behavior has been such that we can no longer rely on his word. I'll tell him that.
Oh, now you've got me worried again. I'm sure I'd have noticed if he'd worn anything especially flashy.
Is his door locked? Well, go ahead, my dear.
Oh, his room's so untidy.
Isn't it? Let's take a look in his closet, then. Mm-hmm. Well, I bought him that coat there and those pants.
Here's his old jacket.
Yeah, well, I bought him this.
Here's a new pair of tennis slacks. Did you buy these?
I guess so. I don't remember. Hazel.
Hmm?
What are these shoes? What in heaven's name?
Well, I never saw shoes like those in all my life, Dan.
They're uplift shoes.
What?
Yes, these are specially built. They're custom made. They're uplift shoes to make you look taller.
Oh, no.
Well, that's what they are, Hazel. Well, here, look at them. Actors wear them.
Oh, perfectly silly, but... But, Dan, they couldn't cost $250.
Oh, no, that would be fantastic.
Oh, it's the phone, Dan. I'll get it.
Why don't you get it in the hall extension? Then?
I'm going to. Hello? Yes? Oh, he isn't here. Who's calling, please?
Who? Eunice? Eunice who? Do you want him to call you? Hello? Hello?
Who is it, Hazel?
Someone named Eunice. She wouldn't give her number, Dan. She wouldn't talk at all. She just hung up.
Well, who'd she want? Not...
Yes, Pinky. And she wouldn't tell me her last name. Isn't that odd?
Well, I'll bet you a hat, a nice new winter hat, Hazel. Pinky didn't spend all of his $250 on Uplift shoes. Not by a long shot.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Have you tried Alka-Seltzer for relief from acid indigestion? Well, take it from me. It's really wonderful. Next time acid indigestion upsets you, try it. Yes, be wise. Alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. Remember, Alka-Seltzer's guarantee is and always has been your money back if you're not satisfied. So you can't lose. And folks, don't forget my tip about taking Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. When you're out late and have had too many late refreshments and acid indigestion threatens, just drink a glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. Alka-Seltzer will relieve your acid indigestion, and as a result, you'll sleep better, wake up feeling better the next morning. There's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer. If you've never tried it as first aid for relief from acid indigestion, you don't know what you're missing. I really mean that. I know you like Alka-Seltzer, and you'll certainly welcome the comfortable feeling it leaves in the stomach. Your druggist has Alka-Seltzer, and remember, you must be pleased with it, or your money will be refunded. Here's the family again.
Dan, I just found 5 new sports shirts and a loud check jacket in Pinky's top drawer.
You did? Well, look in the other drawers. You can buy a lot of clothes with $250. Let's see if we can find them.
Friends, you don't need to be one of the millions of people who feel dull, pepless, below par, or who have poor appetite, poor digestion, or jumpy nerves because of lack of essential vitamins. One-a-day brand multiple vitamins give you complete protection. They furnish your requirements of not one, not two, not three, but all 5 vitamins known to be essential. So don't let lack of vitamins handicap you. Take one-a-day brand multiple vitamins every day and make sure of your vitamin health. Remember that name, one-a-day brand, the kind in the blue carton with the big one. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Pinky is faced with work. Chapter 4, Book 80. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.